seamless. Mia, don't stop peddling whatever you do, or I won't be able to see where I put my gin and tonic. Hello, everyone. Harry Balzac here, coming to you from a dimly lit Studio 5, where I'm joined by the lovely Norma Snockers.
Hello, everyone. Harry, I don't like to complain, but when you reached out for your drink in the dark just now, that wasn't the glass you grabbed.
I wonder why it was warm. Peddling away, by which I mean, of course, on a static cycle, providing power for us, not opening an old Mac full of dodgy watches, is the apology officer, Mia Harkness.
I had to add those watches to the inside of the Mac. The police wanted to know why I kept showing people what was inside.
And we have our resident expert on all things that go on under the covers. It's Juan Kerr.
Good evening, everyone. Looks like a packed programme tonight, even if it's not a packed studio.
And fresh from battling the forces of evil, it's Wilma Fingerdoo.
Thanks, Harry. The forces of evil were, in this case, my comms provider. It must be the curse of Thursday. Again.
Look, if we're ever going to release those poor folks from the green room, then we better get on with it. Tech monkey? Oh, well, that's me. Bing those bongs.
You'll go further if you do it with harmony.
Printing Ponchon proves profitable.
So this is how you avoid pirates.
Flossie boards the gravy train.
Beaver to save mankind from a hairy situation.
McStiffy off the menu as NPC truckers switch to Apex.
New Sinbad tried to tear Mobius off a strip.
Never mind the frolics. Here's the BGS.
I've got updates on community-led events.
Taking a break from seeing how far she can go in ridding the galaxy of pirates, Commander Alex Zuno has linked with Commander Vulcarius, and they're using their brains to see how far they can go across the galaxy. They've called this project Harmony. You'll remember that Alex Zuno's previous project, designed to show how to pick the best ship, equip it, and then use it effectively against pirates, is called Hunter. If you've ever played the Tower of Hanoi game, or planned your own Antarctic expedition, or indeed been part of a long-range rescue such as those performed by the Fuel Rats, you'll have some idea as to what's involved. Fly out, realise you've run out of fuel, so wait for someone to deliver more. But they'll run out, so they'll need someone else to help. But what if they run out? Can you see where this is going? Thanks to our brave commanders who faced migraines, over-caffeination, but definitely not cries of nerd. After all, you'll remember what Alex Zuno is best known for, and it's not her skills at knitting. They have created a definitive guide which they've subtitled What to Do as a Group When Your Collective Goal is to Travel Really, Really Far in Supercruise. But we prefer Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Not Being Embarrassed by Running Out of Fuel But Were Afraid to Ask. Now, if you're the kind of person who describes themselves as artistic, and whenever your teacher asked a question in maths class, you looked down at your feet and drew pictures of naked Thargoids on your exercise book, then you're in luck. There are plenty of pictures and videos for you to watch, whilst those for whom Harmonic Series doesn't conjure up images of a 12-part Galview program on mouth organs can read, digest, wonder, wish that Red Bull still existed in the 34th century, and be grateful that paracetamol still does. It's a tremendous piece of work. You can find it at iniv.space/harmony/, and very nearly, definitively, and definitively answer the question, given enough fuel assistance, how far can Commander travel in Supercruise? but there are some small gaps. Alex may ask us for help in gathering these last few bits of data at some point.
They often say you should go large or go home, and Major General Noctavegas isn't one for going home. In a recent Galtwit post, he's proudly shown his latest creation, an adapted version of the same technology used to make mini mugs, but where he has reversed the polarity, or something equally implausible, to create enlarged versions of sampled materials instead of miniatures. Initial results have been promising, and the Major General has been using his new sampler / 3D printer from yellowsnow.inc. He has produced an outsized Hutton mug comparable in size to the now extinct Sports Direct mugs of the 2000s. This and a drunken evening watching old movies led him to try the process with living tissue. A friend had kept a hanky with some drool from Alvin on it, which was gathered at a recent visit to Hutton, and was handed over to the Major General, who set to work in his labs in Kokajo. There are no words to accurately explain how well the process went. You really have to see it for yourself. Parts of Fragland have been renamed to Spaniel Park, a place where visitors can take a tour and see what Nocte has created. Herds of Bronto Spaniels sweep majestically across the savannah. Sou'westers and waterproof jackets are provided to protect visitors from lickies given by the Avenosaurus Rex, and crocodactyls fly to their nests high up in the mountains bearing fruit from the gravy bone trees for their young. Budget clones for you have been working overtime to provide a team of Snoswell clones who welcome visitors and tend to the needs of the various denizens of the park. It's a rush job and it shows. They are almost indistinguishable from the real thing. The eco-aware visitor to the park can take a tour of its revolutionary power plant, which provides energy to the park and nearby towns. Clean energy is provided using turbines which harness the rotational energy of velocicoquers chasing their own tails. More Snoswells with a bulldozer and a poop bag the size of a hot air balloon are available to take care of any little accidents. Later in the year, Nocte hopes to add some new species, such as a giant man-shark with a dodgy Italian accent called a megadon, and variations on the great bearded tit commonly known as a Pearson, Latin name Magna Opus Pearsoni.
Now, we know that there are many ways of avoiding interdictions, or at least making sure that you're not vulnerable. There's the conventional cut and thrust of making your little blue bit bigger than their little red bit and seeing who lasts the longest, known colloquially as highest up the wall. There's the peekaboo method, where you throttle down as soon as there's a mention of tasty cargo or there you are, dropping to normal space, then charging your frameshift drive but keeping your throttle at zero. Then as soon as the pirate drops out, just hit boost, and you'll enter supercruise just as your ship passes theirs, giving you just a fraction of a second to register their astonishment. There's the Brave Sir Robin method, where you high-wake to another system since you can't be mass-locked. But this is not popular amongst long-haul pilots who then have to restart their trip to 36 Opiuchi, or of course, our very own Hutton Orbital. Commander Whispering Dave reminded us this week of his Galtube extravaganza, where he was interdicted near Sothis and demonstrated the Glasgow Kiss method of avoiding an interdiction. Now, this is not, as you might think, a way of causing physical damage to the pirate, which gives you a headache and them an urgent need for a handkerchief. Instead, as the old Earth comedian Bob Newhart might have said, So what do you do next, Dave? You face a planet, yeah. Or better still, a sun. Okay, so what do you do then, Dave? Just sneak around, you hide behind it, yeah. Oh, you accelerate. Then you slam into the body exclusion zone and drop out into normal space, instantly causing damage to your ship. Well, Dave, it seems to us that that's going to be a potential cause of problems right there. Oh, there's more. Then you wait a long time for the cool down. Well, if you're sitting near a sun, that's likely to be a long time, isn't it, Dave? Then what, Dave? Do you call for the hull seals? Only if you've forgotten your heat sinks. Well, look, Dave, Why don't you go back and examine your technique and just give us a call when you work out what the fundamental flaw is? Goodbye.
Galactic Siren Flossie. No, really. Shula's pirates to their doom in asteroid belts and ringed planets by broadcasting herself singing Gracie Fields' songs. And when the pirates lose control of their ships, as they have both hands off their controls and firmly plastered to their ears, she laughs. A quiet, butter-wouldn't-melt, innocent laugh, but with a faint whiff of brimstone, for which she usually says, "Pardon me." Like I say, Galactic Siren Flossie nearly came a cropper this week as she had to interrupt her mining to fly her ship to the nearest starport for an urgent call of nature, owing to the onboard facilities being hors de combat, as it were. And Wrongway permanently promising to update her ballcock, but somehow getting sidetracked to the pub every Thursday when she was supposed to be going to the plumber's merchant. Eyes newly uncrossed, Flossie flew back to sublimating her aggression by taking it out on innocent rocks. But what had she done? Or rather, what had she not done? She'd not sold her onboard stash, and so her siren call became more of a honey trap as the pirates scanned her ship and, inserting their earplugs, rubbed their hands with glee and demanded some of Flossie's tasty cargo. 20 tons of it, to be precise. Say what you like about Flossie, as long as you're outside the reach of her pan, but she is always willing to compromise, and since she never carries a gun, she really doesn't have a lot of choice in the matter, and so she dutifully dropped 20 tons. Well, you all know what happened next. These weren't proper pirates keen to get rich off other people's sweat, toil, tears, and seismic charges, oh no. These were just space yobs. Hanging around ring planets for kicks, drinking cheap cider made from badly bruised windfalls of Eden apples, annoying passers-by. So, after Flossie dropped her cargo, they pretended not to notice and kept asking for 20 tons, despite Flossie's protestations, and were now starting to give Flossie little shoves with their engineered pulse lasers. At this point, our brave lass had had enough, and she set out trying to get out of Maslok. Despite desperate to find any port in a storm, when she saw, as if it was coming towards her through slowly clearing mist, a fleet carrier. And not just any fleet carrier, with a name such as Ivor Biggin or My Other Fleet Carrier is a Corvette. Oh no, but Laughing Gravy. No, really. That's what it's called. Did none of you ever watch historical documentaries like Way Out West or Pardon Us? Laughing Gravy was one such, and was named after the dog that was the star of East. Flossie lived for a time in the birthplace of the Skinny One, and so it was like the spirits of the ancient age when the whole world was in black and white, called out to her, and she was saved. Of course, such a fan of Centauri Megajin as Flossie would be well aware of the alternative meaning of Laughing Gravy as a euphemism for booze. During Prohibition, black and white days again. But we don't think that's what attracted her to the floating haven. Repaired and restocked with limpets, Flossie returned once more to the rings and, having boosted away from the unwanted attentions of any passing corsairs, resumed her previous activities. So, if you're looking for a pristine ring and the chorus of Sally comes over the system chat, we suggest that you look elsewhere for your mining.
And next, news from the natural world. Naturalists, no, we didn't say naturists, that would change the entire tone of the article, are campaigning for the return of a much-loved and necessary part of Earth's biodiversity. Beaver. Long extinct on Earth for centuries, the public have complained that the absence of beaver on parts of old Earth where it was once abundant is a travesty that should be addressed. Whilst the night shift, many of whom are of American heritage, have plenty of beaver on their adopted planets, the day shift, hailing from what's left of the United Kingdom, don't have any. With rising sea levels, the climate change, yes, 3307, we have all accepted that it was bad and meant places like London sunk under the waves and Birmingham had to be renamed Birmingham-on-Sea, and wild weather patterns, flash floods are a problem, and the easiest solution is, in this case, it's not technology, it is beaver. Beavers love messing about with and munching on wood, which of course helps with rivers and flooding. I'm not sure what you thought we meant, but wash your brain out with soap. And dead meat, keep your hands where we can see them, please. Plus, just about everyone likes a little beaver, or wood, or both. Anyway, we support this important natural way to stop much of the rest of the planet turning into Venice, thus pushing the prices up in all the restaurants and empowering anyone with a boat, a long stick and a stripy top to try to sleep with the passengers and charge a fortune for the privilege. And also the guy from last week.
Favourite cold beverage of the long-haul trucker, the McTiffy. So named because instead of hundreds and thousands that sprinkled to the night shift, they used crushed up little blue pills as decoration. It's suffering from moistness interrupters. Supplies have dried up, as NPC truckers are no longer keeping their end up and are taking new positions with Apex taxis. We're not taking this lying down. We were fed up being interdicted so much for our tasty cargo, said one spokesperson. The banter might be banal and the pay mediocre, but at least we don't get pillaged every time we set foot out of the toast rack. McThargoids have apologised for the lack of creamy filling when you pull the handle, saying it's never happened to us before, and the promise that if we just wait a while, normal service will be resumed, and they'll once more be ready to fill your receptacle. This disappointment for all its clients cannot come at a worse time for McThargoids, as demand was rising, as hinted at by Galnet News Digest, as due to the galaxy's current political instability, more and more people wanted McStiffy in their hand, which they could make use to make a mess on any politicians that they came across. The problem has been thrust into the face of the Pilots' Federation, and officials are said to be considering using prisoners to bridge the gap. Commander Westhorpe is said to be delighted at the news, or at least he wouldn't have to spend the remaining years of his life stuck in Pilgrim's Ruin. Stations all over the bubble are frantically re-recording announcements, as loitering is now a crime punishable not by destruction, but by being required to deliver a swift McStiffy to the docking area. And no, that's not a euphemism. Of course, even when affected places are returned to their normal operation, the machine will be, as usual, broken. But that's not the point. It's about McStiffy potential, which in current troubling times is zero.
Out in Colonia, the Mobius Colonial Republic Navy, or MCRN, is having a bit of an off day. Not only were they battered out of control of their system by the Privateers Alliance, but before they could pick themselves back up, they were besieged by Sinbad the Bad. Yes, he is very bad, but Sinbad the Very Bad and Extremely Naughty just doesn't have the same ring of menace to it somehow, as he attempts to take Mobia away from its rightful owners. You recall that Twirly Mustachioed the Bad was previously kicked out of WNL by Hutton on behalf of EDS-38 last year for being naughty in an operation led by Millstone Barn and Graham NK and featuring many truckers of note, including Cecil, which just shows you how desperate they were. The evil disporter of over-elaborate facial furniture just can't help himself, apparently. Being bad is at his very core, and it's an epithet that he revels in living up to. And we suspect that the Privateers Alliance were merely pasties, encouraging to attack Mobia like someone egging on a drunk in a bar fight. This is the kind of thing that Sinbad is well known for, getting someone to do his dirty work and then turning up and saying, "We didn't think you wanted it anymore." Our friends in Mobius have mobilised a fight back to try and prevent war in the system, with a special mention for MCMDRs Weissman, Winnie, Phantom Help, and Kleptor. Although MCRN is currently pulling ahead, they need all the help they can get. They have several carriers in system, and the MCRN Mjolnir and MCRN Sumitatum Aeris are well placed for logistics support and combat zones. But an interloper has been spotted. A fleet carrier from the group known as Lomac, or the Like Dealer. A self-styled group of Corsairs who have modelled themselves on the Victual Brothers, who had a substantial influence in the 14th century on life by the North Sea and the Baltic Sea. Their best known forebear was the so-called Klaus Störtebeker, named from the Low German, wait for it, overthrow the mug. If that's not a call to arms, I don't know what is. Lomac claimed that Störtebeker's name was actually given for his drinking prowess, but we don't want to take any chances. If you've finished your homework and done your hut and chores, then please help our Colonian brethren keep moustaches to a sensible length.
Bah, what do you lot know about moustaches? What I couldn't tell you about lipweasel wrangling isn't worth knowing.
Never underestimate the power of the dash.
It's been a really been the holiday season in Hutton Space in recent weeks, which continues its run of fair space weather with all systems blue across the board, no clouds on the horizon, and no packs of predatory seals lurking in ambush to pinch our chips. For most of the week, we have had only six systems outside our preferred 40 to 60% influence envelope, the least for some time. We have only two systems below 40% this week. Barnard's Star recovered briefly with a small bump after 10th Fleet lost their election earlier in the week, but it has now slid back to a lamentable 28. Another war has broken out for second place in Barnard's Star, tying up almost a third of the system's influence, and whoever wins that war will be perilously close to Hutton. So, truckers, get in there and do some trucking. Last week's other laggard, Ross671, gained an impressive 8 points in the week, but Kakari has dipped below the preferred influence envelope to 39. But Barnard's Star is the one to watch. Even Epsilon Eridani has managed to haul itself up to 42. At the top end of the systems league, we have six systems above 60%, with none over 70. In our last expansion, we ended up in LHS 1358, but since it already has two player factions and is a tiny place with no remarkable features and only two outposts, we're leaving. Happily, we've been losing the war against the Roughnecks, but presently it is tied at 2-2. So if anyone who fancies a bit of pew-pew, head over there and help the Roughnecks boot us out. Meanwhile, in Colonia, the Grand Poobah of Colonia himself, Arch Architect Archie Hankey, asked that truckers fight for hot coal in the war in Pythias against Societas Eruditorium and De Civitas Dei, and vote for hot coal by running election missions in Tyr against the Colonia Cooperative when it kicks off tomorrow. Note, tomorrow is an absolute term and not relative to the system you're in, but it's used in its galactic standard meaning based upon full rotation of old Earth in Sol. Or so the guy from last week told me. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, boost Hutton influence in Barnard's Star. If you want to shoot something, help Hutton lose the war against the Roughnecks in LHS 1358, or help out in Pythias in Colonia.
If you like events organised by fellow commanders, then this is the place to be. As usual, links will be posted in Twitch chat and also in the description of our YouTube upload. As the fleet carrier Khonsu makes its way along the 124 waypoints of the Cannon Challenge, those commanders who have hitched a ride are getting front row seats to a grand tour of the galaxy. Commander Mephisto has parked for a little while just to send us this update.
Our picture was taken at waypoint 64 of the Comfy Cannon Cruise. Yet another P-type anomaly was featured, number 12 this time. At the middle waypoint 65 of 129, the chalice genus of pod was introduced with the Albidium species. Waypoint 66 featured the viride species of the same genus. Commander G-Man-14 thankfully found two overlapping tritium hotspots right in one of the systems en route to the next cruise destination. So Khonsu is staying there to refuel for a few days again.
The SWS Haiji Summer Slamdown 3307 expedition has been going for a few days now and continues until September the 5th. For those of you interested in a long-range, 66,000 light-years, high-gravity body landing tour, compatible with both Odyssey and Horizons, will not only fun to be had, but prizes as well. Commander Richard Flurians M was out of comms range until 4 minutes before the show. But here is the last minute news.
We have arrived at Goliath and the Lithobreaker and have had a lot of deaths on the way. However, tragedy happens as we see that the transition to Odyssey has made some planets not landable anymore, as the expedition seems to be in a bit of a problem with that. But thanks to the efforts of our brave scouts, we've been able to find replacements.
FGS Glorious Wall Surveys and the Monkeyhead Nebula is progressing nicely as they mine, explore and make landfall on planets in and around nebulas such as the Monkeyhead. Commander Wiener Warlock says,
several commanders took advantage of their first experience with the black hole to experiment. Defeated Ink tried creeping up on one, whilst Elliot Coleman took a more ball in a china shop approach by metaphorically putting his head down and charging full tilt, hoping to pass the event horizon and discover a wormhole, presumably to Rexar. Both commanders found out to their cost that the ship's engineers were way ahead of them, and they soon learned what body exclusion zone means.
I am Nickman, Glorious Wells Captain. Was happy to lend their fleet carrier to the expedition, and in return gained from many evenings spent around the bar, chatting and looking at photographs, especially at the Crab Pulsar, and they offer grateful thanks to those providers of ED Astro, EDSM and all of the other tools that have made it possible to plan, organise and collaborate this event and others. And finally, for this week's report on monkeying around in the Monkeyhead Nebula, Commander Jet Reno said that their highlight was the green gas giant, and presumably his sweet corn, hot to haw, and is looking forward to the upcoming events for this weekend, where members of the expedition will meet for some SRV racing or mountain climbing. The Wild Wild West expedition is almost ready to depart, starting from Colonia on the 28th of August at 1600 UTC. And as they say, somewhere over the horizon in the deep of the black, far beyond Icarus Folly and round the Devil's Dance Floor and through the great plume of Aquasoria, answers to questions that shouldn't be asked and wail longingly into the darkness. If that doesn't whet your appetite, Commander Analogikid, 1970, sent this little missive. And if I ever write a book about the expedition, this is what you'll find on the inside of the front dust jacket. The bubble is no place to live. The tensions are high. The politicians are crooks. The space dust is thick with goids. And morality has a price tag. So go west. Go west and grow up with the stars. Join the intrepid Airman Dan and the Analog Kid as they mosey across the rich, dark prairie. This undertaking's origin is the story of a man and his cat. Early in the Airman's career, he looked to the expanse with dreams of worlds uncharted, and from the cockpit of his first 22 light-year Cobra, he bookmarked systems like Waypoint 8, which sits a staggering 50,000 light-years from the bubble, knowing that one day he and his furry sidekick would make this perilous journey together. Years passed, stories were made, technology improved, but the pair never made the voyage. Then Commander Toby, gentleman and co-pilot, returned to the stars. But undeterred, the man called Dan built his fortune, bided his time, then met another who shared his vision. Together they struck out west, and the rest is history. And that's all we have this week from Community-led events. If you want yours to be featured, just email itookpart@huttonorbital.com and we'll get in touch.
And that was the news, but that's not the end of the interesting bits. Stay tuned for brand new Gownet News Digest, Flossie's Roundup of the CG News, Hutton Sports Report, and of course the Green Room. But first...